Okay, hey guys, just wanted to say this was the first episode of Darren Debates where I debate somebody, obviously. All right, hopefully like and subscribe and hit that bell to get all notifications for probably political. So what you want to talk about? You want to talk about immigration?
I
Oh.
think that's what we agreed to talk about.
Well, you know what? Let me introduce you first, right? Okay, I'll do the intro real fast. Okay, give me a sec. Give me some water.
Sure. I got mine too.
Yeah, okay. Let's just do
Or are we
this.
live?
No, I'm recording it.
Oh, okay,
Yeah, I'm
cool.
not
So,
worried. What's
all right,
up?
I'll let me know when you want me to set the timer. We
Okay.
agreed to 20 minutes.
I see 25.
25? All right.
Okay. All right. Hey, this is Fast. Oh, shit, that's too fucking loud. Hey, this is Fast Times with Darren, and we have a guest today, Bradley Taylor, the great friend of mine.
And I can say the same as well to you, Darren.
Yeah, all right. And today we're going to be discussing immigration. I don't know what type of immigration you're talking about, but okay, let's do it. All right, you can
All
start the
right.
timer now.
All right, cool. Thank you for first of all, thank you for having me on today, Darren.
Of course.
My good friend.
Yeah.
I was thinking it'd be best if we talked about the topic of illegal immigration.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
For what country?
In the United States.
All right, that's fine. Okay, tell me your stance on it and what you want to argue about.
All right. There's a debate going on and within our government, and I sort of feel like about if you go back to about a decade ago, I would say protection for and security of our border was more of a bipartisan thing. But recently, ever since Trump got into office, I feel like the Democrats haven't really cared that much about protecting our borders. And I mean, part of that could have been just to get back at Trump, or another factor could be that they feel it's a good opportunity to have more voters, in the hopes that the illegal immigrants that are here or are coming here to receive amnesty and get citizenship. And
Okay.
I guess I would like to ask you if how you feel about it.
How do I feel about what exactly? The Democrats' view on the border, I guess?
Sure, I guess so.
I mean, I don't think the Democrats care too much about illegals as long as they help businesses make money, to be completely fucking honest. But yeah, that's pretty much my stance. If you mean like okay, if you mean what do like how do I care about illegal immigration?
I guess what's your general view on the issue?
First off, I'm against the wall completely. Second, like I think, we have the Constitution, right? We have unalienable rights, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
That's
So
correct.
if they're unalienable rights, that means everyone has those rights, correct?
That is fair to say. These are natural rights we do have under protection of the U.S. Constitution. And I believe we talked about this earlier for a little bit.
Yeah, I'm just bringing it up
And
for people that don't know about it.
yeah, and that's an interesting defense you have there.
Well, it's not just my defense. It's typically a libertarian's defense. Just like, well, because if you know of the current one of the current Libertarian Party nominations for president is Jacob Hornberger. Is that his name? Jacob Hornberger, you know the
Oh, really?
guy?
I thought it
Yes.
was Lincoln Chafee. Or is that someone else is taking the lead now?
There's a couple libertarian hopefuls. I would say hopefuls because to be honest,
Yeah.
the Libertarian Party ain't gonna win. But
Like Justin and Amash just dropped out.
yeah, that was bullshit. But
Yeah.
I was gonna go on to so he runs the Future of Freedom Foundation, right? And he basically has a case for open immigration. And I mean, he kind of goes through the whole same points as saying that, yes, if you believe in the Constitution, you know, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness are unalienable rights, God-given rights. And that should mean that everyone has those rights, especially if you believe in, you know, the freedom of people and freedom of movement, that we could, you know, go anywhere we want to. Why should one government tell you where you can and cannot go?
So, yeah, this is an interesting case here, because I don't think I've ever heard of that perspective of the argument in regards to unalienable rights and how that connects to legal immigration and freedom of movement. So what I say to that is, so if these are natural rights, and we would assume that these are universal if you're born with it, so why should they have to come to the United States to ensure they have those rights when they could have them in their home country in theory? Because if you're already born with it.
I mean, they can. That's why they're changing to a different country, because they're moving. That's the freedom of movement. The second thing is, for, like, reasons why you would move to a different country. Better standard of living, better jobs, maybe being closer to family members, if, you know, essentially. There could be lots of reasons. Cheaper to live at sometimes, depending on where you're coming from. Better healthcare. What else? You know, better, you know, for your children, like the future. Maybe being persecution. Because we also are seeing an increase of asylum seekers, which are not illegal immigrants. They are asylum seekers and refugees.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's lots of reasons why someone would come to the U.S. I'm not going to, like, yeah. That's the, yeah, you know, there's the pull and push, you know, reasons to leave a country.
Right, the pull and push factors, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, totally. Like, and, you know, as you know me, like, I really do not mind legal immigration at all. It doesn't bother me.
What? Yeah, go on.
Oh, I was saying, like, I don't really care what country they're from. All I care is if they come in the right way, they do their paperwork, and they follow the laws, and then I'm fine with that.
Well, then,
they just gotta come in legally.
What makes someone okay?
Or if you're an asylum seeker, though, there's an exception there.
Yeah, because you can't seek asylum in an embassy. You know that, right? You have to be
a U.S. embassy.
You cannot do that in a U.S. embassy. You have to actually be on U.S. soil or at the border of a port of entry.
Oh. Well, I thought that was fixed a little bit. Like, didn't the Trump administration make a deal with the Central American countries where the asylum seekers could apply for asylum in U.S. embassies of their home countries?
They could provide, so you basically could get protection, but it's not through the embassy; it's through the DHS, which also is managing everything else. And so they would have to literally travel or make arrangements for it with other government agencies. For you to travel from the embassy to a different country and throughout the country. Plus, you're also forgetting that these people might be persecuted in those countries, and they're gonna, that it's a government bureaucracy, right? So it could take weeks or months, for even years, for that, you know, to actually happen. They could die within that waiting time.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of that, like, the thing about people in Guatemala, right? The new, yeah. The new president over there, essentially, he's against same-sex marriage. He wants to use military action for civil protection. And mass immigration from Guatemala is actually coming to the U.S. Obviously,
yeah.
For protection. And I mean, I get it. Like, it's pretty rough out there. But yeah,
for sure.
I mean, a lot of these countries, let's be honest, America, as bad as, you know, some people say it is, we're okay and mostly tolerant to people of different sexualities and, you know, transgender, we're getting there to a certain point. We're a little bit more tolerant than some other countries, to be honest.
For sure, as it should be.
Yeah. I mean, we could always do better. But yeah, I mean, these are reasons why people would actually move and cannot wait at an embassy. So my big question here, though, is that what would make someone legal and illegal? Is it just by definition?
Well, from my point of view, you're an illegal immigrant if you if you obviously cross the border without going through customs or border patrol or without any permission whatsoever, or you could come in legally through a work visa. You have permission to work there for, say, 9 months, right?
Yeah.
And I've heard about how most of the illegals that have stayed, that are here in the U.S., was a result of overstaying their visas. I believe that.
Yeah, I mean, because it's very common to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, because...
That's another problem, too.
Well, because in the last decade, there's been a decrease of people actually hopping the border.
Well, that's good.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's been slowly decreasing, so I mean, it's going to happen no matter what. But most people have been overstaying their visas or coming from other ports of entry. Actually, we've actually been having an uptick in people coming from Africa to come to the U.S. People coming from India, stuff like, you know, places like those, and not just under work visas, but like some, yeah, illegally. My point is that you only see them as illegal immigrants because they didn't file paperwork, right?
Or, like, you know, they just, like, they didn't go in without any vetting or, you know, ensuring, like, their good intention. They don't have criminal records from their home country.
Okay. But yeah. My big take is, what would
stop... Kind of like Ellis Island or Angel Island.
Yeah. I mean, but people kind of just still... You're still on the U.S. soil.
True. Well, I mean, like, where else can you conduct these checks?
I mean, lots of places, actually. I mean, you can literally do... I mean, we have places in Texas that you can literally just... They'll come to your place and check on you. It's basically, you know, the sign and release, right? That's essentially what it is. Well, they'll actually check... They'll check in on you to see if you're actually doing anything bad.
What do you mean they'll check on you? Like they'll knock on their doors or,
well, yeah,
or something?
Like, essentially, yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you were also talking about, like, you know, if they got caught crossing the border, then they're allowed to stay in the U.S. until their court case comes, and they don't show up for their court cases.
That's also one way to do it. Yeah, that could be a way, but that's also a very small percentage of it. Percentage of people actually doing that. My big thing also is that if it wasn't illegal to cross the border, right? Then none of the quote unquote what do you say, good immigrants that want to work and stuff, right? That's probably what you can say.
Yeah.
They could just come here too. Like, there's nothing really stopping them. And they don't have to wait fucking 5 years, 10 years sometimes to become legal citizens.
But do you want to create... why create that risk by not having a vetting system? We don't know who's coming into the country.
We don't know what can happen in our country already. We have people that commit murders and rapes and everything in our country already that are totally legal citizens that have been born here.
Well, of course, but... But it would make it easier to prevent situations from being already bad than they are. I'm not saying it's terrible here, but by not having like a legal immigration system would make problems worse. And I do have some crime statistics to show the problem with illegal immigration.
Okay.
So, and this is coming from the Justice Department of Euros, and it says that, and this was taken in 2018. And it says, while illegals account for 7% of the U.S. population, they account for nearly 64% of all federal arrests.
What are those federal arrests, though?
Well, I don't believe it specifically said, but I do have another one that talks about specifically our state of Texas. And this is coming from the Texas Department of Public Safety right here.
Yeah.
And it says... between June 1st, 2011 to July 31st, 2019, about 297,000 non-citizens have been booked into the local Texas jails.
Okay.
And according to the same agency, there's been 494,000 criminal offenses between that time period, including
that they committed or what?
Oh,
Do you have a correlation, or is it just coincidence.
Yeah, so the correlation is that 297,000 of these non-citizens combined have committed a combined total of 494,000 criminal offenses.
Can you tell me what those criminal offenses are? What's the percentage of that, you know, natural-born citizens do?
Yeah, so also for the 200, there have been 225,000 convictions in the state of Texas, according to the Department of Public Safety, which I could break down those numbers for you. Sure. 500 homicides, 23,954 assaults, 8,070 burglaries, 297 kidnappings, 14,178 thefts, 2,026 robberies, 3,122 sexual assaults, 3,840 sexual offenses, and 3,158 weapon and drug charges.
Okay. My thing is, okay, so those things are already illegal, right?
What's legal?
Those things, every crime you said is illegal, right?
Well, yeah, of course.
Okay, and we arrest... That's why they're a crime. And we arrest them, right?
Yes.
And what do we do after that?
I'd assume they'd either serve out their sentence or after they serve out their sentence, they're deported, or they're deported right after they commit the crime.
My big thing is, how is those stats compared to, like, you know, a regular citizen?
Well, I don't think this is a good way to I don't think it's a good thing to compare the illegal immigrant crimes to U.S. crimes, because a crime's a crime regardless who does it, right? So why should we increase the chances of having those crimes get committed?
Is it increasing the chances? Do you know that?
Yeah. Well, I feel like it would increase the chances.
You feel like it would increase the chances. Okay.
Oh, it definitely would.
It definitely would. Yeah. So you went from it feeling to it definitely would.
Yeah, I corrected myself.
Okay, you corrected yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. My big... So here's my thing, okay? So I have the Homeland Security yearbook from the stats from 2018, because I can't find anything recent. So we have basically aliens apprehended by region and country of nationality. So 2016-2018, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The biggest uptick that we can see is from 2016 to 2018, total 530,250. 2017, 461,540. 2018, 572,566. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So most of that, right, is coming from what countries? What countries do you think they are?
I would assume mostly from Central America, and I heard even China, but honestly, I don't really care that much about the nationality of
the illegal immigrant. You don't care about the nationality? Okay. You don't care about the nationality.
Yeah. It's not a racial issue.
Well, I mean, well, no, it kind of, okay, but if you care about protecting the border, then we can, I think, for immigration, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we should know where they're coming from. If it's not... If it's not from crossing the border, then what's the point of having a border, right? If it's getting lower, if it's getting lower at the border, why have a border in the first place? Second, if they're coming through plane or boatyard or ship, then why protect the border in the first place?
Well, I heard about the whole plane thing about that's how they get here, but that I think that was around only 48 to 52%, so roughly around half.
Roughly around half.
Way of transportation. Yeah.
Okay. But you're forgetting. Okay. So that's half of it. So if we just stopped air travel from those countries, we could, you know, stop immigration, right?
No. Well, now we're talking about the extremes here. I'm sure there's more effective ways of doing that than stopping air travel, obviously.
What would it be? Protect the TSA that's kind of been inefficient, or what else?
Look, all I'm saying is that probably the best solution, I know you don't like the wall, but I do believe we should have some sort of barrier on the southern border, and I'm glad we do.
Wait. My whole thing is that, why do we need, okay, if it's not going to help, and it's already decreasing without even doing better measurements.
actually, it has helped. So there was a study where you've heard of the triple fence in San Diego, right? So
yes.
After that was built, there was a over 90% reduction of illegals crossing that border.
Crossing that border.
That part of the border in San Diego.
Okay, and California. So did they just go to a different part of the border?
I mean, possibly. But,
possibly.
But that shows that, you know, most of them were not able to penetrate that wall right there. Like, it was pretty difficult, you know, when you have a physical barrier right there. Obviously, you're not, you can't really go through it. And if you try to, you're probably going to get caught because you don't have enough time.
Yeah, I don't have enough time. My point is
they went to the parts where there weren't walls, of course. And as you know, the border is not complete yet.
I mean, it's never going to be complete. It's covered by mountains. You got a river. I mean, you can't really put a wall on those places.
No.
And plus,
they kind of act more as natural barriers anyway.
Well, yes, but then look. The whole point of open. Okay, so if you have open borders, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you basically it would reduce sex trafficking, because most coyotes and the drug cartel focuses on young women mostly, trying to escape and across the border, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you allow them legally to come, no matter what, they're just gonna come. They don't need an escort or anybody. If we legalize drugs, then we weaken the drug cartels in Mexico and Colombia.
But you see, you can't just like solve every issue just by legalizing it. So. You said that by legalizing drugs, we'd crush the drug cartel.
No, I said weaken.
Oh, weaken it. All right.
I mean, because it was already there. Okay, so because it was already there before we introduced any war on drugs, we basically helped them by funding our crazy need for drugs. And this is why a lot of Wisconsinians and basically basically in the Midwest and basic places in the Northwest and more up north than we are in Texas. This is why they are more support of the border, because they think it will prevent, drugs, basically drug trafficking. I don't think that, because it's a drug cartel and they have money and they'll use whatever means necessary to push drugs. For a huge market for illegal drugs.
For my position on drugs, I'm all for legalizing marijuana. Absolutely.
Typically they're worried about heroin affecting communities, such as, you know, in rural communities all around the country. If we legalize every single drug, then it can potentially, you know, we can make it in the U.S. and it could be U.S. grown. Have a great industry in the U.S., don't you? You know, free markets right there, right? And then
I'm not an anarcho-capitalist, so
yeah, I know, but I'm not like so. But if we also have open borders, right? Basically, I mean, because we do have for tax purposes, we do have a net increase for allowing illegals to come to America. They pay taxes a pretty decent chunk. But basically, your study's already done. That it could potentially double our GDP if we allowed open borders. Now, do I believe it would double it? Probably not. But they do pay your sales tax, they pay property tax through rent and through owning property. FISA, they pay a couple of that if they work. But I mean, other problems such as stealing Social Security numbers just to work, I think that's a problem we could fix.
For sure.
But also, if we look at illegal immigration, why are they coming here in the first place?
Well, obviously, I would say for better opportunities, of course, because the governments in their home countries don't do a very good job at governing. I don't blame them coming here. Yeah, we do have laws on the books.
Yeah, I mean, and then we also... So again, they come here because we let them have jobs here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we already have laws.
And not to mention, there could be gang members, too, who are taking advantage of young women and mm-hmm. children for sex trafficking.
Yeah, of course. That happens everywhere. I mean, look at Epstein, right? Right? Epstein? Yeah, okay. No joke? Gotcha.
Epstein, yeah.
Okay, so you're basically, you don't want any illegals to come to America because of crime rate.
Because of what?
Crime rate.
The what?
Crime rate.
Crime rate?
Crime.
Oh, crime rate. There's crime rate. And also, from a moral standpoint, I don't think it's fair for the immigrants that did came here legally, of course, because they worked really hard to ensure, like, they followed the laws. They went through the process. They went through the vetting. It was expensive. It was long, tiring.
But wait. If we made it basically open borders, then that argument kind of goes out the window, don't you think? Right? Hello? Hello? Brad? Okay, well, I guess he's not coming back. That ends the debate. Give it up to him, Bradley, for arguing about immigration and having closed borders, I guess. I mean, because there's a difference between having, you know, open immigration and borders. Because, I mean, we have a border from Texas to Oklahoma. And you could go as far as you want in that. No one's stopping you. High crime rates compared to what, though? That's my thing. Does it just increase? Can you give me any stats for why they increase in the first place? Just that these are immigrants and they committed crimes. Okay. Well, I guess I'll end it.